you. That's how good I am, man. Just at the final second, I was able to get... Oh, hi, everybody. It's world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Big apologies to my video cast. I'm just going to go ahead and do the whole mea culpa right here. Big apologies to my video cast audience, my subscribers. I love you. You know I love you, and you know I respect you, and I'm sorry. And I've got a big sign here. Please remember to unmute your mic. We mute our microphones during the break for a variety of reasons. We mute our microphones, even though we have subscribers that are watching our behind the scenes. We mute our microphones for a variety of reasons. And I have to remember to unmute them. I have to remember, because we don't have the technical support for our video cast that we would need to remind me to unmute. You know, this is something usually an engineer would handle. So I apologize to my video subscribers, you guys listening in on the radio side. It's really frustrating for me, man. I'm telling you right now. I said this on the air a couple of weeks ago. Maybe I say it every night. Well, Phil, you're not going to go in. Yeah, maybe I am going to go into the speech. Maybe I am. What is David calling?
Probably him. You know full well it's probably going to be David Hall calling in.
Well, isn't that something, man?
Shut up.
Yeah, okay.
What are you doing, Mr. Henry?
Well, he's looking at him. He's all scared.
Mr. Hall calls in. You'll be sorry if you ever... Hello? Yeah, he wants to talk to you.
Oh, really? Yes, sir.
All right. I mean, I'm hearing you starting your warm-up, okay? You're like a pitcher in a bullpen, Phil. As soon as you start your warm-up, I know you're about to go out to the mound. I got to call up.
And what am I warming up to do?
You're warming up to once again rip the radio industry a new ass. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, I wasn't.
You're a liar.
Well, all right, maybe I was going to bring up a couple of things.
Yeah. And all I'm doing is I'm calling you up and reminding you to be a nice guy. The new Phil Henry is a nice guy.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
Phil, this is very important. I agree with David on this one.
When do you not agree with him?
Are you calling me some kind of a sycophant?
Sort of, yeah.
Well, Phil, that's very, very insulting, you know.
Well, hold on for a minute, aren't you?
No, you know I go my own way. There's a song, Phil. And I think you know the song.
Look, Margaret.
No, hold on for a minute. Loving you isn't the right thing to do, 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 do. You remember the song?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, that was called Go Your Own Way, Phil. And when I first heard it, I thought it was legitimizing homosexuality. And I didn't like it because I was part of the whole Anita Bryant thing. I thought that it was wrong. And I learned that I had to change.
You thought that Go Your Own Way was what?
You thought that Go Your Own Way was...
You mind if we just talk about what we're talking about?
David, there's no need to be a smartass.
All right, what do you want to know?
What did you think Go Your Own Way was about?
I thought it was legitimizing the gay lifestyle, which I know is not a lifestyle.
Go Your Own Way.
Yes, think about it.
Well, it is. It does make sense, Robert.
Yeah, it sort of does, sir. Go your own way. Go. Yeah, it's like go your own... Because there's only... If you're straight, there's the one way. But if you go your own way... It's slightly lower. Well, depending upon, you know, the position.
Shut up. God.
Look, you're the guy that forced the issue here. And all I'm trying to say to you is, if you're on the air and you're talking about the radio industry like there are a whole bunch of gloids walking around eating with their hands, wiping stains off their fly, and basically, you know, you make them sound like a bunch of guys that wander around behind a chain-link fence on what used to be testing grounds, and they all they know how to do is point at the administration building and then hold their hand out for some bubble yum. Isn't that right? Isn't that right?
Yes.
Okay. We can't do that anymore, Phil. We're all one big happy corporation. All one big happy family. What did Pastor Rennick tell you? Didn't he tell you you got to get along to go along?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, that'll do, Mr. Rennick.
And I think, Phil, when you think of this, go your own way.
All right, Mark Morgan, if you don't mind...
Oh, really? Are you saying that it's hard to hear?
No, you're a great singer, but...
I'm a great singer, but what?
You know, it's good, Miss Gray. You can...
Yeah, go your own way. That's the song. Loving you isn't the right... Do you remember the song? I loved it so much. Now, you know Stevie Nicks went to Arcadia High, don't you?
What has that got to do with anything?
But she's saying, Phil, that she went to your alma mater.
Stevie Nicks went to... She went to Arcadia High 2 years... ahead of me.
Did you know her and everything and date her?
No, because she only went there for a year.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
I don't know. What are you telling me?
I'm telling you that Stevie Nicks walked the very halls that you walked 2 years later as a senior after you got thrown out of LaSalle. I mean,
Thanks a lot for that, David.
Well, wait a second.
Were you thrown out of LaSalle?
Just never. Never mind, okay?
You almost said never effing.
Yeah, I heard that, Mr. Emmett.
Okay, yeah, I almost said, you know what? What I'll do is from now on, I'll stop down and point out every mistake I make. That will, you know, that will lessen the burden on you guys. All right.
But Stevie Nicks went to Arcadia High.
She went to Arcadia High in 68, I think. She's 2 years older than me. She went to Arcadia High. I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about Stevie. When I was at Arcadia High, there wasn't such a thing as a Stevie Nicks. I mean, she was a girl that was out there in the world, but she wasn't. She wasn't famous yet.
What about, like, what was the band she was in?
Fleetwood Mac.
Well, they were around.
Yeah, they were over in England playing blues. They were a completely different band. They were a completely different band than the band they became with Stevie Nicks.
What do you think she was doing around 1970? I know what I was doing. You know, we were doing Bunkhouse.
You were doing Bunkhouse, yeah.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Because I want to move on, okay?
All right.
Anyway, folks, thank you very much. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. It just bugs me, and that's why we wanted to... It just bothers me, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I apologize to my subscribers. I'm sorry. And I can say that it'll never happen again. It probably will. You know, but we will do our very best, our level best. And again, my thanks to my good buddy, Lauren. 18,000 texts here. You know, it's when you ever go to your phone and you see the same person, there's a whole row of texts, you know, oh, now what? You know, what happened? That's what I got. And it was look at this, yo, yo, yo. It's about 19 yos. Then there's another one like, unmute, unmute, unmute. Now she starts in with, you dumbass, dumbass. Now it gets even worse. I'm kidding. No, she doesn't. All right. World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Texters who distract drivers may share blame for crashes court rules. Now, last night, as it turned out, we did have Stephen Bozell on the line talking with us about that. We ran out of time, and I don't want to have him back on because he's been traumatized by his daughter having to look at what she imagined to be pressed ham against the glass of a L.A. County Fire Department plane, and as it turned out, no, it wasn't.
Well, you're calling the man crazy.
Yeah, I guess I am. Oh, gee. We're going to get back, though, and talk about this. On September the 21st of 2009, Kyle Best, 18, crashed his pickup truck into a married couple. This is a horrible accident. They were on a motorcycle. David and Linda Kubert, both of them lost their left legs in the accident. Are you ready for that? The Kuberts settled with Best after filing suit, but... Guess who else they sued? They sued Shannon Colonna. She was on the phone with young Mr. Best. They were talking, and they sued her because the law says that if you are distracting, knowingly distracting someone who's driving an automobile with the texting or whatever, you are also liable civilly. So they had to go into a court of law, and they had to try to prove that this woman knew that she was distracting him. And we will give you the outcome of that. And we'll be talking with Harvey Wireman, our attorney at law, who is one of our experts on this. And we'll also be taking some phone calls on it here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show on this Friday night, just ahead of our big Labor Day weekend. I hope you guys have something fun planned. My birthday is coming up on Sunday, so I've just decided, man, I'm going to hike out of here, you know. That way I won't be able to mute anything or screw up a video cast, you know. But we will be in touch with you guys via our website over the weekend as well. So stay with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And, you know, we'll try to make everything, like, copacetic. All right, coming up here on the Phil Hendry Show, we do have conversation with Harvey Wireman. We'll look into this whole texting thing. Do you text when you drive? Well, you probably don't. If you do, you wouldn't admit to it, would you?
What about you?
No, I don't.
That's a lie, because you told me just the other...
Hold on for a minute, okay? I'll explain it. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty.
What is this, bud?
I'm sorry, that was the bumper music.
Well, that's some real kick-ass bumper music.
Well, it is the theme of America.
I understand, but I want something a little more. Why don't you pay attention? Anyway, welcome back, folks, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I didn't know we'd be leading off the segment with a hymn, but it's a beautiful hymn. And we're talking here about texting and driving. It's amazing how many people don't understand this law. and don't understand what the law calls for, and they don't understand what the law allows. Now, what happened here is that there were two people riding on a motorcycle and some other clown driving along in his truck one day, and he was being texted by his girlfriend, and she was texting him. And they wanted to prove... Now, these two people were hit by this guy in the car, and they wound up losing their legs, okay?
Why?
Because they got hit by the guy in the truck.
Yeah, but why did they lose the leg?
Because that was the side of the motor... What do you mean, why did they lose their leg? They got hit on that side by the truck.
Well, Phil, they're just looking for some specifics. Legs were lost. We do know that. Now, did they get new legs?
We'll get to that when we get to that.
But legs were lost.
Yes, legs were lost. If you guys are making a joke about this, I'm going to start swinging.
No, man, I just want to know.
Two legs were lost.
On one guy?
One leg per person. The guy and the wife. Now, look at this. Okay, good. I was going to look over there and see if my video cast was still muted. So the people were hit. They turn around and they sue this guy by the name of Kyle Best. And they sue him, and they're basically saying, you jackass, I don't have a leg now, man. You want to know why? Because you were texting your girlfriend. But one more thing. One more thing. The law allows for the girlfriend to be held to pay damages if it can prove, if they can prove, that she knowingly was texting this guy while he was driving. So what that does is, do any of you know people that have been hit by others that were texting? Margaret?
No, I don't.
All right. I do. A friend of mine with her two children in the car was hit by some jackball driving behind her on a freeway, and the freeway had suddenly come to a dead stop because of a traffic jam, but some ass that was coming up behind her texting didn't see the stopped traffic and went, just plowed right into the back end of her car. And thank God she was in a pretty heavy-duty SUV, but she wound up having internal injuries, breaking some bones. Her kids were okay, but it did take some... the paramedics had to arrive. I mean, they had to remove her from the car gingerly, this clown that ran into her. Now, I happen to know that she went into... had some financial difficulty, and maybe it's because the ass that ran into her didn't have any money, but there's got to be something that the law provides for so that if someone like that hits you, you sue them, and they pay you off like a pinball machine for the rest of their living days. Bud?
Hey!
Cut!
Okay. You don't get to say cut. I do.
I have a point I want to make. So you're saying the girl has to pay too?
Yeah, well, we don't know yet. They have to prove that, and I don't think that's been proven. As a matter of fact, I think they did get through, and it was not proven. The three-judge appellate panel unanimously agreed Tuesday that there was insufficient evidence to determine whether Colonna was responsible for distracting Best. Now, a lot of people are so stupid, excuse me for saying this, folks, not you necessarily, but a lot of people in this country are so dumb that they don't understand that the law allows for you to sue an individual who is purposefully distracting the driver with texting, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are automatically going to get it. You have to prove it. You have to prove it.
Yeah, but if she was doing it, then...
All I'm saying is, if you think...
Yeah, if you think, man, that doesn't mean I prove it. Oh.
If you think that that person was texting that guy and knowingly texting while knowing he was driving, then you take your shot and you go ahead and sue that person, too. The law does allow that, and the law allows for damages. But you got to prove it.
And they didn't prove it.
No, they did not prove it. They did not prove that this girl, her name again, Colonna, her name's Sharon Colonna, did I say?
It's Sharon Colonna.
Shannon Colonna.
Sharon Colonna.
Shannon.
Yeah. No?
Shannon, are you guys...
It says Shannon, yes, you're right.
Shannon Colonna.
How do you spell the last name?
Don't worry about how you spell it. The court's language says when the sender has actual knowledge or special reason to know from prior texting experience or otherwise that the recipient will view the text while driving, the sender has breached a duty of care to the public by distracting the driver. All right, Harvey Wireman is an attorney at law, and he's a guy to talk to about these things, although Harvey is a... Well, Harvey, you're a criminal defense attorney. You're not an entertainment attorney, correct?
Yeah, that's correct. I've been involved in criminal defense for a long time. Of course, I would tend to... Texting, Phil, is a very... It's in the telephone. You write down the things you want to say when you're on a telephone. okay?
Right, right.
Now, but just hear me out for a second. There's a thing on the telephone that a lot of people don't use, and it's called talk into it or something.
Are you talking about Siri?
Yeah, Siri, that's it.
Oh, yeah, well, you can talk and text. It's voice to text.
Well, what is it called? I call it the thing you talk into. I don't call it Siri. Say, just talk it. And when you talk it, then it gets to the people. Now, one of the things that has angered me, and you will probably know this, is that it does not necessarily print out what you're saying, and the spell check takes over. I had texted, voice to text, as you call it, Bill, using this Siri to my office, and I said, would you please make sure that Mrs. Chowden has a banana, because she has banana, she has a banana cocktail every morning. And
Whoa, who is this?
She's a client of mine. All right, and
this is a woman that you provide a banana for?
Will you let me finish what I'm going to say? Yes, I've known her and her husband for many, many years. I was in the service with her husband.
Oh, okay.
And he passed on, and I've handled her legal affairs since then. And she comes and sees me every Wednesday, and she has a fruit cocktail, and a lot of times we will provide it for you. I have a buffet here. I lay out the... You've been over here in the morning, haven't you?
Yeah, Harvey has a nice... You got coffee.
I have bagels. It looks like a regular... It's almost like you're going to a table read for a TV... On the TV set, you know?
Well, not yeah,
because it cost me a pretty penny to lay out a bunch of fruit and bagels for a lot of these slobs. Excuse me, I'm not talking about you, Jenny, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right. So... Just listen to me for a minute and quit butting in, because this is important. Now, voice-to-text uses spell check, and when I voiced over what I would like the lady, Mrs. Brighton, to have a banana. Make sure she gets a banana with her fruit cocktail, and I'll be in the office in a moment. Well, the spell check came out like this. She's got to take a banana, and you give it to her. I'll be in to watch.
What?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Now, guess what happened? Working the switchboard...
Well, I want to know something. What did you actually... What was the voice message?
That I talked into the phone?
Yes, that you were voice texting.
I said, Mrs. Brighton will be in... Make sure she has a banana for her fruit cocktail, which she eats there at our buffet, and I'll be in shortly.
And it came out, she's got to take a banana, you give it to her, and I'll watch?
Yes, that's what he showed me. So when I went into the office, all right, and she had locked herself in the bathroom, and he's holding a banana. Now this guy, he's not the brightest kid, okay?
Who is this kid?
This kid, Jerry.
Why is it all the dumb guys are named Jerry?
What is that supposed to mean?
Just seems like that's... So Jerry did what?
This kid Jerry had a banana and had been following her, you know, in the office until she finally got nervous and went into the ladies' room and locked herself in there. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm trying to do what you asked. I don't know why you asked that, Mr. Wyman, but I so want to be a lawyer that I'll do whatever it takes. And I wanted to, you know... I said, are you trying to tell me that you were going to go ahead and do the deed with that banana to the... He said, if that's what you wanted. Well, I had to fire him. I had to fire him, and I also recommended him to my psychiatrist, Bill Fondell. So Fondell is going to put this guy on a couch and see if he can't figure out what happened to him.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a hell of a story, isn't it? And that's that voice texting. So,
I've used voice texting, and there's no question that weird stuff comes out. No question.
Yes, and I have to, but I've never heard of anything like that.
Well, you've heard it now. But let me tell you this much, Phil. I would rather people use voice texting than wind up taking off the leg of a guy and his wife. And you said that it was a leg, right?
Oh, boy, you guys are killing me, man.
Well, what was it?
No, it's two legs. One belonged to the guy, and one belonged to the lady, and then there was another one?
No, man, two legs.
Why would there be another one? You just said two legs.
Yeah, one belonged to the guy, well...
So So thank you very much. Hold on. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Very weird. I don't know what's weirder, the story or listening to this whole thing about Mrs. Whoever the hell.
Mrs. Brighton.
Mrs. Brighton gets a fruit cocktail. I'll tell you one thing that would have kept that from happening, Harvey. Had you just decided not to provide these buffets in the... You go to Harvey's office. He always has laid out very beautifully. They've got donuts.
Oh, I've been there. Yes, fruit, and they have bagels. It's wonderful.
And they have coffee. But and he wanted to make... So give her a banana.
Yeah, and the guy's all chasing around with a banana.
Well, he didn't chase her, but... We'll be back with more on the texting while driving and the fallout of that here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 855-500-7445. Blast off. World famous Phil Henry Show and PhilHenryShow.com as we continue talking to Harvey Weierman and others about the texting, this texting lawsuit and the court ruling, who distracts who. And if someone distracts the driver, you know, they are the ones that, they also are the ones that share the blame. So the driver who is screwing up, that cat is going to get, you know, he's going to get slapped with some heavy penalties in a civil trial. And the person who is driving, or excuse me, the person that's texting, so they could be sitting next to you, or they could be someplace else, and it would not matter at all. Bobby Dooley from the Western States Homeowners Association is going to be talking with us a little bit about this later on. She's got three sons, and you know, kids text. But you know who else texts? Everybody texts. I text.
Well, now, Phil, you did tell me that you text and drive.
Not anymore, I don't. No, I do not. No, I do not. I don't text and drive after I heard what happened to my friend, okay? I don't want to know if I should use her name or not, you know, but because people may know. Well, Trish, okay?
I think I know who... Is her last name...
Don't worry about what her last name is. But in any event, she was with her kids, and it was a bad thing, man. It was bad. And she got hit by this guy. But if there was somebody distracting him... If there was someone on the other end of that texting process who was aware of the fact that he was driving, they are also. Now, if you're aware, if you're not aware, then you're not going to be a person who is liable for that kind of thing. All right, Charlie the Fountain coming on the line with us here from Boston. Charlie, it's good to talk with you. And let's hear your experience. Were you distracted by a texter? Were you the texter, or were you the victim of a texter?
Phil, I was the victim of a texter, and I was driving with a couple of business associates of mine who were texting. I was not texting, and I was hit by someone that was texting. But here is the story that I want to tell you, and I've been on your program before talking about multimedia issues.
And Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is also going to join us because they've been out in force with their own operation.
All right, well, that gentleman there, Mr. Sanders, that you just referred to, I have some stories about him because I was accosted by him and his Citizens Auxiliary. I call them the Citizens Auxiliary idiots because that's what they are.
All right, well, we'll get to that. But tell me about the incident involving you and being hit by the texter.
I was driving on the Pasadena Freeway in Los Angeles. I was out in Los Angeles on business, and I was driving on the freeway before it goes through those tunnels around Elysian Park. And I live in suburban Boston. I don't do a lot of driving. I usually will take the MTA or you know, I use some form of public transportation. But I was driving in Los Angeles because that's what you do. I was with two other gentlemen who are buyers of mine, and we were on our way into Pasadena to the mall there, and we're going to be speaking with some of the representatives of the store there. Enough said. So as I'm driving through the tunnel, coming up on me head-on, Phil, and if you've been to those tunnels in Elysian Park, you know it's very baffling. It can be very disorienting.
These are the tunnels near Dodger Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, so head-on. Coming toward me was a large SUV. It was an Excursion, and clipped the left front of my car. I swerved at the last minute. This thing clipped me. It spun around, And this guy, who I thought initially was drunk, turns around and chases me down and finally runs me off the road. And when I spoke later on with a police officer, he said to me, this is what texting does. So,
Wait. There's a lot more to this story that needs to be said. First of all...
What more do you need? What I'm telling you is that a texter caused that.
Well, wait a minute. This guy was texting, but he was also going head-on towards you, and then when he hit you, he turned around and chased you?
That is correct, yeah.
Well, this is what texting does. The people are not paying attention.
Wait, what are you talking about?
What don't you understand about this discussion, Phil?
I was brought on the program to talk about texting. What are you talking about?
I'm asking you how texting caused this guy to go... Excuse me.
Ew! You just spit!
Sorry, I'm sorry.
What's going on there, Mr. Henry?
I'm sorry, I'm talking so fast, I need to swallow.
That's what she said!
Hold on for just a minute.
Oh, boy.
You think I'm doing a comedy thing here or something?
Well, you kind of teed it up.
You did tee it up, Mr. Henry.
I don't give a damn if I teed it up, okay?
Well, Phil, it was sitting right there. It was fat, it had butter all over it, and it was waiting to be hit over the center field fence.
I don't care. You're not the judge of that. You're not the judge of that. You're not the judge of that. Because I tee it up doesn't necessarily mean I hit it. I'm talking about texting. I'm talking about a serious issue. And that's what she said. That's about as old... All right, back with Charlie LaFountain. Charlie, what I'm asking you is this. How did texting cause this individual to go the wrong way down the freeway, then after he hit you, turn around, chase you down, and run you off the road?
Well, I was trying to explain to you, Phil. The individual was texting in that excursion, was texting one of the two men that was with me. And the individual was texting had been a young lady that he had been out with the night before. We had a buyer's party downtown what is the name of the hotel there that used to be very classy, but now it's a little bit of a dump?
I don't know. What?
Yeah, Bonaventure there, the Bonaventure Hotel.
That's not a dump.
Oh, okay, well, whatever you say. But we had a party there, and apparently it was a young lady that he met. Now I'm in the car driving, and apparently he told her to get lost or drop dead or something. She was on the 5 freeway. She immediately swings over 5 lanes of traffic and takes the exit and somehow gets on the northbound lanes of the Pasadena coming right at me.
How did she know where you were?
Because he told her. He said, we're going through the tunnels of the Legion. Where are you? She said, I'm on the 5. Watch this. That was the last thing she texted.
And this girl was headed for your car. Why?
Because she knew this guy that gave her the brush the night before was in my car. Now, she's one of these party girls. You understand what I mean by a party girl? She's a professional escort. So, Rudy, the guy that was with me, thought it was just a good time girl, and he didn't know that she was ready to settle down and have 18 babies, whatever the hell. So he says to her, we're going into Pasadena, we're in the Elysian Park tunnel, have a nice life, and she said, watch this. That's the end of the text. She comes over 5 lanes of traffic.
And hunts you down right there whatever lanes they are, the southbound?
Pasadena-bound lanes. And I see 2 headlights in the excursion. I see this blonde hair flying in the wind. And I swerve at the last minute. And she hits the left front. Now, I'm thinking, sweet Jesus, what was that, you know?
Good God.
Right. But then I look in the rearview mirror, and I see her swing around. She does one of these 180s, and she's coming after me again. I'm thinking, what do I got behind me, the fall guy? You know? You know, Mr. Eric, that was
Don't think she is like a stunt person.
Who was that?
That's Bud. Take it easy, Bud, okay?
It's a Bud?
Bud. He's one of my staff guys.
All right. Well, who it was, Bud, for your information, young man, it was this woman. She's chasing me down. And I said to this guy, Rudy, I said, what's going on? He said, it's the girl I was out with last night. Well, she's shaking a fist at me. She's coming up beside me. She's got the window rolled down. She's edging it over and over, more and more and more, turning the wheel into me more and more and more. She's pointing to her phone. And I'm saying I can't do it. This guy that was
the cause of it, has buried himself in the back seat. He's just completely hiding from her. She's pointing at a phone. She's pointing at her crotch. She's basically saying some nasty stuff to me. I keep going as far as I can go, and then she swings the wheel one more time. We hit that shoulder there on the Avenue 52. I don't know if you know where it is, Phil.
Sort of, yeah. There's a park there.
Right. We hit the shoulder there. The car gets air. We go through two chain-link fences. We hit that baseball diamond. I'm praying the whole time. I've lost. The car no longer is under my control. I've given it over to God. As this car goes through those two chain-link fences across this baseball stadium, or the baseball diamond, I should say, goes through another chain-link fence, and we come to rest not too far away from the hillside there where all that dry brush is. And that's where the car is. The engine's still running. I got a hot tailpipe that suddenly is sparking a fire in this.
Good Lord.
Yeah. So.
What happened with the fire?
Well, no, we were able to put it out. We stamped it out. I said to Rudy, I said, you put that fire. I said, if you don't, I said, I'm going to use you as a human fire. I said, I'm going to use you as a blanket. I'm just going to roll you in that fire until it's out. I don't care if you burn alive.
Wow. We're talking with Charlie LaFountain about his experience with texting and driving. That is the most outrageous. That's mental illness, though.
Well, that woman was out of her mind.
But it was texting. It was brought on by texting. It was brought on by, it was like road rage brought on by texting, as she was upset with this guy that told her to get lost or something by way of text. She found them on the freeway, tried, and then it was road rage from there on out.
Yeah, I tell you, that was it, man. It was texting, but then more road rage, I'd say.
Does that make it relevant?
Probably not. I don't know. That's the most insane story I've ever heard. I mean, she was texting. Obviously, he was harmed by this texting. The guys that were with him. We're going to have to talk with Charlie LaFountain more about this when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Then we'll talk with Jay Sanos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What are they doing about texters that drive? And, you know, what other things, what other precautions can be put into place to help make driving safer for all of us out there? And, of course, you know, the bottom line is it's just common sense. You know, what are you going to do? I mean, are you going to be a sensible person? Or are you going to be, as we like to say around here, folks, are you going to be just about 100 yards a dumbass? We'll find out. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com at 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. Famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com and on the air in your town. If we're not on the air in your town, people will say, how do we get your show, Phil? I said, well, you go to the local radio station, say, would you please put the Phil Henry Show on? And when the guy goes,
oh, well, you know, we don't, I don't, we're going to put on Bruce Williams.
Then picket them, it is your right. Have big signs saying, we want good radio. We want good radio. And the guy will come out and try and be a smartass and say, we have good radio. Phil Henry isn't. And say, no, man, you're too lame for this room. And this is Des Moines. Stuff like that. No, what you can do is just say, would you put the Phil Henry Show on? Keep bothering them until they either are fired or quit or put the show on. That's all there is to it. In the meantime, you can check us out online at philhenryshow.com. philhenryshow.com is our website. We have live streaming video of our show each and every night. If it wasn't for a live streaming video of the show, my close personal friend Lauren would not have texted me, hey, dumbass, your audio is muted. And she cares about it. She's a nice lady, and she likes me. And it was like, dumbass, hey, dumbass, hey, dumbass, hey, dumbass. It's about six of them.
Really? That's what she was saying?
Yeah. Hey, no, I'm kidding. No, she wasn't, but if she had, I would have understood it, you know.
Because I was about to do that.
What do you mean you were about to do it?
You'll notice I went to the bathroom for a good portion of that, and I didn't hear anything. So I started to write, hey, dumbass, hey, and then I thought, no, you know what? I'm going to let Phil sink or swim on this one.
Well, thank you very much.
What an idiot! You could have got...
What did you call...
Hey, watch it.
You call me idiot.
Don't call names, bud. And you don't call names.
You should have come in and helped him out. Instead, you let Mr. Henry twist in a breeze. And now, to hell with it.
Excuse me, what's your language?
I don't blame him for being frustrated. I don't blame him at all. You could have come in and helped us out. You're sitting on the toilet doing what?
I was reading Reader's Digest, the word power. You know, I mean, I didn't... Forget it.
Oh, well, Margaret, don't pretend like it's really frustrating for you, okay?
I'm sitting on the can. I've got a Reader's Digest in one hand. Do you want to know what I've got in the other?
No.
And I'm listening, and I'm not hearing anything, and I'm thinking, I'll bet that stumbling, muttering, that it's not, you know, he didn't mute it, or whatever you call it.
I had it muted.
You had what muted?
What you're talking about.
Oh, yes. So I'm sitting on the can, I'm reading Word Power, which you know I like.
Well, I don't want to interrupt your word power, Margaret.
I couldn't go anywhere. If I had, I would have walked into your studio. Well, let me put it this way. There wouldn't have been just toilet paper hanging out.
Oh, God.
Man, you gotta put it so graphically. You should not say it graphically.
Well, Phil's forcing me into it.
All right. I got your story. I don't need the particulars, okay? I don't need the particulars. I'm telling you, we got to start working together around here, man. Now, I love my radio listeners. They are a very important part of what we do. My subscribers are the world to me. And if they're sitting there paying good, hard-earned money, and they're looking at me going, my mouth is moving and there's nothing coming out, I don't blame them for getting angry.
Well, don't kiss too much ass, Phil. I mean...
What are you talking about, man? I'm talking to these guys. I get frustrated right alongside of them. All right, in any event, let's get Jay Santos in here, okay? Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, a great resource when we talk about these issues regarding safety and all of these other things that have so much to do with the way we're living here in the 21st century, the new media, the new technologies, the new ways of communicating. In so many ways, we're safer, and in so many ways, we're less safe. Jay, how are you tonight?
Hey, Phil, doing real good, and I want to echo what you just said there.
About being less safe?
Absolutely true. In many ways, as you said, Phil, we are more safe, and in many ways we are less safe. And that is, Citizens Auxiliary Police, we try to stress that with all of our new sub-commanders, as well as radio commanders and cadet commanders. We try to tell them that even though we do have cell phones, even though and everyone is pretty well in touch with police services as well as their parents or if they need their husband or wife, that even though we have that kind of communication, we are still sort of pretty much adrift out there in a world, in a world of hurt. You know, as my father used to say, my dad used to say to me, if I come home late with a car, he said, you're gonna be a world of hurt. My dad came from Florida, and he used to say, you'd be a hurting gator. You know?
Yeah.
And so, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
You got a question? Or?
I didn't...
What do you mean by that?
Phil said he knew what I meant.
I know what you mean, you know, but you're saying you're out there by yourself.
Yeah, you're out there by yourself, and if you don't have a cell phone or communication, you can be in some very, very serious trouble. And what we're doing with Operation Stony Brook... with Operation Market Garden 2, with Operation Normandy Push.
Can I ask you something? Your name is Normandy Push and Operation Market Garden 2?
That's correct, yeah.
Those were World War II.
World War II what?
Those were World War II operations, I guess you could say.
Well, I'm not familiar with that. I'm just telling you, Market Garden, if Market Garden was the big one. Market Garden is when we did a full sweep down to the mall. We went way down to Excelsior Mall, and then we hung right, and we went on into the subdivision there, and we were able to find a lot of cell phones with a lot of texts and a lot of meaningless gobbledygook on those things. That was Market Garden. Operation Normandy Push, following D-Day.
You know what D-Day is, right?
I know that D-Day, yeah, that one I know. Well, wow, so we named it after D-Day, yeah.
World War II D-Day.
Yeah. But Normandy Push, we didn't.
Well, D-Day was in Normandy.
Well, I don't know what your point is.
Phil, you might as well let it go, you know.
You're right, you're right. Okay, so tell me about what you did with Operation Market Garden 2 and Normandy Push.
Well, first of all, we earmarked one ear as Benghazi, and the other we earmarked as... the other one we earmarked at El Alamein. Now, L.L. Amain...
But see, all of these World War II references, I can't... I find it difficult to understand...
What are you talking about? God!
L.L. Amain, Normandy Push, Market Garden, Benghazi. I mean, these are all areas of battles, of big battles, of primary battles and operations in World War II.
I never heard of any of them. And I think, Mr. Renner, what you're doing is you're distracting me away from saying to your audience what needs to be said, which is that we went down during Operation Market Garden... And we went down there, and we took all those cell phones, and we looked at the messages on those cell phones, and we went ahead and read them out, and took a
You kept track of them.
We kept track of them, and meaningless gobbledygook. Hi, Mom. I'm having fun. I understand that kids need to communicate with their parents, but what Operation Market Garden taught me more than anything else.
Hold on for a minute. I can't take this. I'll see you later.
Are you trying?
I understand. It's Jay Santos is another idiot. I don't know why we Operation Market Garden. El Alamein. This is what he's using for his Citizens Auxiliary Police, and he's taking away these cell phones and he's looking at the messages on them.
Yeah, he said he's looking at messages to see if there's anything dirty. Because he says the dirty ones are the worst ones that you can do.
Is that right? Meaning what?
Well, they're the most distracting. So if you distract somebody with a picture like boob, you know, you send a boob, well...
If you send a boob shot, excuse my language, it'll cause a man to do unspeakable acts.
All right, well, we'll be right back here in the world-famous Phil Henry Show and figure out what those unspeakable acts could possibly be. 855-500-7445. It is Friday night of the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I said Friday night. I didn't mean to say it that way, but you know what I mean.